You might like to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 22. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. So Spirit of God, help us as we seek to come to grips with what you've recorded. And our Father will thank you very, very much. Deal with the young and children and all of us. In Christ's name, amen. Our study of the Gospel of John, we're in chapter 18, and we've gone from the garden to the arrest, and in the process to the trial of Annas. Annas is was the high priest. He is the controlling high priest. He is the boss, as it were, the head man of if you want anything in Jerusalem or Judah, you have to come to him. He's the boss. He's the head man. He is a great syndicate. He has a lot of power, and he exercises that power. So they had to bring Jesus to him first in the night, and they brought him. And therefore they went from him to Caiaphas, who's the son-in-law of Annas, and in the process he is the reigning high priest. And that's in the night again. And they have another meeting of the chief priest and scribes and Pharisees, etc. And they have another meeting. Now, that's two. So now we're going to go and add the third Jewish trial. And in the third Jewish trial, there were six trials, three Jewish, three Gentile. And that's important. You'll pick that up. Now, and so here's the third trial of the Sanhedrin. Now, you have to remember the scramble. They've gone, and Judas has betrayed him at night. They've arrested him at night. Everyone has to get out of bed and do all that they did. So they have Annas, and then they have Caiaphas, and they do that. Now it's getting daylight, near daylight, and so they're going to send him, and here's all Caiaphas, all the leaders. And that's one. But now they need something more official. So the Sanhedrin, that's the total body of lawmakers that make the laws, etc. And the Sanhedrin needs to meet. So they all have to get out of bed if they haven't. And they're all there coming together. And you have to admit that everything's like this. Everything's fast. So now, verse 66, we read together, just as 66 to 71 is the account of the Sanhedrin. And I'll read it quickly, I think. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and chief priests and scribes came together and led him into the council, saying, Art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, you will not believe me, first class. I'm going to tell you, but you won't believe me. Verse 68. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. In other words, you aren't interested in any dialogue. You aren't interested in any facts. You aren't interested in anything except one thing that you're interested in. Verse 69, therefore shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Thou shalt So therefore, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. So he said it. He said he's the Son of God. He said he's the Son of God. What more is there to say? What more is there to think about in all of it? So here's the three trials. They had one purpose, to move him. They can't, they're going to move him through in the process and in the system. They did it to Annas, they did it to Caiaphas, they did it to Sanhedrin. Not one of them was interested in the facts of truth or reality. They're only interested in one thing, and that's to kill him. That's what they want to do. That's all they're interested in. So therefore, when we slide down, if I can, in the light of that, chapter 23, verse 1, and the whole multitude of them arose and led him unto Pilate. Okay, now, you remember what we're looking at in some limited, abbreviated way. We're looking at the scene. There are four windows, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They're looking at the same thing. All four are looking. And so I've been trying to give you the pieces, the different windows, different view that they see, and as they see it. Now, in order to get this part and Pilate is the first time of a Gentile. Got to go to the Gentiles. Pilate, the only one that can do anything for what they want to do is kill him. So we got to go to Pilate. We can't just do that. Then we'd be murderers. So we got to do it officially. We all condemn him. So therefore now, over to John. John in chapter 18. And in the process of John chapter 18, I'm going to pick up now the context of this first meeting with Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate is the governor of Judea, and he's in charge, representing the Roman Empire. And therefore, if you're going to sentence, you can't sentence them. They're a religious group, and it's a holy day. It's very important to them. You want to understand their thinking. The Lord Jesus is a criminal. He's a pain in the neck. He is just there and making it very uncomfortable in our positions of power and control and possessions. We are the hierarchy and the people are the common people. The common, like in communism and stuff, socialism. And they're the common people, and he's disrupting the common people. And where will our power and position be if he wins? We can't have him win. We can't have it. He has to go. And so that's a holy day. It's a Passover's going to start at 3 o'clock. And then there's going to be Passover, and then 7 days of Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we want to, it's a holiday. And we want to celebrate the holiday. It's the yearly Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. You can't have us lose the holiday because of this man. So we've got to do something with this man before 3 o'clock. So you can have to understand. They're interested in getting busy about their cooking their turkey, whatever they have, and whatever they're doing. They're interested in doing what they're doing. And he's just in the way. So as fast as we can get rid of him, that's what we want to do. Hang on to that. Now, having said that, in chapter 8 and in verse 28, Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, And it was early in the morning, so Pilate hasn't even had breakfast yet. And he has to get out from breakfast because they're knocking at the door. They aren't going to go, just in case, they aren't going to go in. It's a Gentile house, a Gentile judgment hall. They can't, the Jews, all of the Jews never leave this whole thing. The chief priests and Pharisees, the scribes. And they never leave it. So there they all are at the door. They can't go in, knocking on the door, because it's a holy day. And if we go in and step foot into where Pilate lives, where the judgment hall is, we defile ourselves, and we have to miss holy day because we're defiled. We can't go in. We can't get away. We just want to have holy day, Pontius. We just want to have holy day. Now, having said that, and and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? What is the charge? What are you want? You want to bring an accusation, a charge? What are you bringing against this man? That's what Pilate wanted to know. He represents the Roman Empire and the Roman legal system. And so the legal system would be exercised. And so therefore, in verse 30, they answered and said unto him, if he were not a criminal, a bad guy, if he was not a malefactor, a criminal, we would not have delivered him up to thee. In other words, it's true. If he weren't a criminal, what would we be doing knocking at your door at this early in the morning? Why would we bother you this early in the morning if they don't have a real problem? And they sort of used it as a way to what? To go and intimidate Pontius Pilate. Why would you ask us such a stupid question, Pilate? See, not the way to do it, but that's what they did. Why are you asking us? Why do you think we're here? We're here because we got a bad guy, and we need your judgment to take care of it. Now, so Pilate went out to meet them, and the accusation, the charge was there to bring against them. Now, if it's false, and of course, if it was false, we wouldn't have bothered bringing them to you. Now, having we'd have no indictment. So what are they doing? Sort of bullying Pilate, as it were, and he had insulted them, as it were, and therefore, why would you? So they hopefully have put Pilate in a tough place to have to respond. Verse 31. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. So it's wrong. We can't judge the thing. You want us to do it according to our law. But we can't do it. And our goal is to what? Is to kill him. That's our goal. It's been our goal. Hold your finger here and go back over to John chapter 7. And much earlier, chapter 7. Picking up, please, in verse 1. John 7, 1. After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Verse 25. Then said some of them of Jerusalem, is not this he whom they seek to kill? And as you turn the pages of all the months go by to this point in where we are in at the court, in Pilate's presence, they want to kill him. That's what they want to do. They want to kill him as quickly as possible. So therefore they took counsel to put him to death. And that's what they need Pilate now to take care of it. So, having said that and keeping that in mind, in the light of that, and Jesus was not, and keep in mind, Jesus can't be stoned. The Jewish law, if the Jews kill him, they stone him to death. That's what they do. If the Jews kill him, they will stone him to death. That's what they have. That's the law. That's the law. So, but that isn't in the cards, as it were. They can't do that, no. No, the world system's involved. Everyone's involved. So the Jews, we'd like to kill him, but we can't kill him, and God says, you can't kill him. You can't kill him, hang on. So now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over, if you hold your finger here, and you'll see it, different places. Psalm 22. In Psalm 22, picking up, please, remember this Psalm 22, Psalm 110, all about the Messiah. So, and there are all kinds of places. I'm just going to show you one of them, just so you see it. They can't stone him. They can't kill him. Because why? God said that isn't how he's going to die. So therefore, what did they know? They didn't know, but they did know. Psalm 22, verse 16. Dogs have compassed me about. An assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's not being stoned. That's being crucified. He has to be crucified. And the only ones that are crucifying are Romans. They're the only ones that crucify. The Romans have to do it. Jews can't do it. Hang on. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so the Sanhedrin couldn't do it, and et cetera. And here's Pontius Pilate. And in the process, there are three charges that they bring to Pontius Pilate. And I have to have you go back to Luke chapter 23 to see the three charges. You read them, but you wouldn't have noted them necessarily. And the three charges you'll pick up, chapter 23 of this, here's come the Jews. The Jews are going to talk to Pontius Pilate, and they're going to bring three issues. Chapter 23, verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation, forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, the second, and saying that he himself is Christ a king. That's the three charges. So three charges, he's perverting the nation, he's not paying his taxes, and he thinks he's a king. Now you need that because we're going to pick it up, sliding along, chapter 18. And in chapter 18, if I can. And I'll read verse 31 just to pick it up. And then said Pilate unto him, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die by crucifixion. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again. Now, here's Pilate outside, because the Jews won't go in. It's holy day. So he does that, and he got everything. So he walks back in to his place of the court, his seat, judgment hall, And he invites Jesus. He goes and sits down and says, come on, come on in. The Jews aren't going to go in. Jesus has no problem going in. The Lord Jesus walks to Pilate. Now, in the process, in verse 32, Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou king of the Jews? Now, where did he get that? Because that was their accusation. What the third accusation was, he thinks he's king. So Pilate says, come on in. Do you think you're king? Do you think you're king? King, art thou king of the Jews? He knew he wasn't king elsewhere. He said, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, verse 34, Jesus answered him saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? And of course we know that they had told him specifically that they accused him of being a king. Therefore in the process of that all, and remember now that Christ has to be crucified. And without taking all of that, but do at least that much, go back over to John chapter 12 and keep in mind, it'll help us, John chapter 12 and verse 30. And Jesus said, this voice, remember the many times the Lord talked to God and God spoke to him and the people heard. Verse 30, and Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes, so that you know I talk to God. Verse 31, now is the judgment of this world, not Jews, the whole world. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be judged, that's the devil. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This, he said, signifying what death he should die. It had to be by crucifixion. It had to be. Now, having said that, back over to John and in chapter 34 in that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's going to go of what death he should die. And remember now, with jumping ahead a little bit, all of this is I won't even do it. For envy, jealousy, won't do that now. So, verse 35. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What sayest thou? So, here in verse 35, Pilate says to him directly, am I a Jew? And the answer is, and no answer is expected. And the sentence and it would go like this, actually, if you're differently. I, comma, a Jew, am not, comma, am I? Am I a Jew? I'm not. Am I? You got it? That's the sentence in the Greek. Am I? I'm not a Jew. I'm not a Jew. No, you're not. The Lord said, I know you're not a Jew. Now, therefore, in verse 35, thine own nation and the chief priest have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? What have you done? Are you a threat to Rome? That's what I'd ask Pilate. Are you gonna go against Caesar? Or what are you gonna do? Where's your army? I mean, what are you gonna do? That's what Pilate wants to know. That's a reasonable thing. Wants to know. So therefore, what hast thou done? Verse 36. Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not thence. So therefore, My kingdom is not of this world. Christ said, I'm not seeking to be king. I don't want to be king of this system. I'm going to condemn it. It's the wrong system. So therefore, Christ is not seeking to be king on earth. And the world system already has a god, Satan, the god of this world system. And like in Matthew 6 and 10, and that the Lord, disciples' prayer, actually, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It isn't now. No, sir. No, I'm not the king. I'm not here to be king. I'm not here. Even though John 5:15, you don't have to turn there, they took him by force to make him a king. They wanted to make him a king, and he just walked away from them because they wanted to make him a king. He said, I'm not a king. I'm not a king of this system. Now, having said that, thy will be done. And here's all. And then what do we know? We did the whole Matthew 13 study of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, etc. And we did all that. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, in verse 36, if my kingdom were of the world, and it is not true, it isn't of the world, and if my kingdom is not of the world, and since it's not of the world, my servants aren't going to fight. My servants don't fight. The word servants is the word under rower. Remember, we shared that in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. The under rowers. What are believers? They're under rowers. Remember the ships they had on the deck. Everything's up on top. Down below are the holes where the rowers row. And they're down there rowing. That's what the under rowers, the servants, the sailors. My sailors. They would all fight. They'd be fighting right now. But we aren't in the fight. We aren't trying to save it. It isn't our fight, no. Jesus' servants would be fighting, as we shared, but they're not fighting. So therefore, in verse 36, so that I should not be delivered to the Jews, handed over to the Jews. I don't want to be handed over to the Jews. And therefore, from here on, from the world, I'm not in that. So I'm not, it isn't about that. Over, if I can, you'll pick it up, over in John 8, a little bit to fill in a piece. And in John 8, verse 23. Remember what is this? Are you a king? John 8 and 23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. This is to the Jews. You are from beneath. I am from above. Ye shall, hang on just a sec. You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. I'm not of this world. I'm not. I don't belong to this world. Chapter 17, on your way back. John chapter 17. And picking up, please, in thought, verse 14. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I'm not. I'm here to save. I'm here to go to the cross. Verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but thou should keep them from the evil one. Verse 16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am not of the world, and therefore I don't belong. You don't belong. The believers don't belong to the world system. They got saved in a most wonderful way. And in the process of getting saved in a most wonderful way, now I say, well, they are in the world. And then for us believers, people that receive the Lord as their Savior, they're going to lock in, hold your finger back in John 18 again, and go over to Colossians chapter 1. What am I going to remember? Colossians 1. And you will note, if I can, Colossians 1 and in verse 13. And the prayer. 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us, transplanted us, where? Into the kingdom of his dear Son. We are not of this world. When you get saved, you're not of this world anymore. You're in the world, but you're not of it. So therefore, all the battles in the world are the battles that belong to the world. They belong to the world system, not to you. They belong to the system. You're not of the world. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, and without getting that, that doesn't mean you're soldiers and all of those different things, policemen, and all of that kind of thing exists and there has to be. But, so when we get saved, God takes us out of the world and places us in his Son, even though we're still in the world. And our weapons of our warfare are not any more carnal. Think of 2 Corinthians 10 and do that one too. That'll help you stay awake. 1 Corinthians. Second Corinthians in chapter 10. 2 Corinthians in 10. If we're going to fight, what are we going to use? We can't use weapons because it isn't that kind of war. We're in a fight, but not of the world. The fighting of the world's what they do, fight over everything, anything. But that's not the issue. Or if we're going to be our problem, and you know, here's, do two things. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 3. For we walk in the flesh, for though we walk in the flesh, this body, we do not war after the flesh. We can't do it with our fists, we can't do it with a BB gun. You can't do it, because you can't kill. How do you kill the spirit? How do you kill evil? You don't. It's there. You try to stop it, but you can't kill it. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We're going to have understand we're here, but our battle isn't to fix the world. It isn't to go down and change the bar room and do all that. All of that may or may not be done, like prohibition and all of those things. But that's not what we're here for. But there is another kind of battle that we face, which is what we're looking at. Why are the trials? Because the world is deadly set, deathly deadly, determinately set to get rid of God. It's absolutely necessary that God not win. We got to kill Jesus or he'll get the people against us. We've got to get God, tribulation. We've got to get God out. It's either us or him. Tribulation, we're going against him. It's either us or him. If he wins, we lose. Do you understand the intensity of that? That's why as we're reading, do you know if the Lord were here and going to court? Do you know people would walk right by him in the street as he went to the courtroom? And he was in court, and are you the Christ? And the judge and the jury and the people and all the people that are watching on the news, all channels, watching on the news, they do think, well, I wonder if he is. They would be no different than what we're reading. Do you understand that? It's hard to believe, isn't it? If he were to walk in, he can't, but if he did, people don't know. Now, who are you? Are you really? Are you really? We have no sense of God. And that's the whole point of this. That the trials bring out what? The world is totally different and ignorant of God. And they love it to be so. They love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil. They don't want to know. The people that go to church don't want to know. That's awful. No, it isn't. They really don't want to know. Not that doesn't mean there's believers there, but general churches, general religion. They don't want to know. It would destroy. What would it do? It would destroy our systems. Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, we got all kinds of systems. And anything in them that isn't right would have to be removed. Whatever is not right in our thinking, in our churchy religion, has to go. It doesn't really have to go. That's where we are. That's how we know we're whatever. And we'll have to go. And we would argue that in court against him. Now, God, you don't mind, but you leave us alone. But if you're going to do that, we're against you. That may sound awful. I can't even explain it to you how real it is. This is real, what we're reading. And they have not one bit of interest in saving him or understanding him. And if anyone should have, this is for real. What we're reading is real, really real. We're living it. They're living it. And that's how they are. So I have to understand that. Because we're wondering why we're religious and we're nice. That's not being saved. And that's not honoring God. It's not honoring God. But we're nice. It's good to be nice. Now, I didn't mean to drift a little bit, but you need to understand the awesomeness, our weapons of our warfare. And without turning there in Ephesians, you know, Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against principalities, we wrestle against powers of darkness, the devil himself. So how do you fight him with, you can't. He's against you existing. Our Lord said it. Do you understand? The world system, your old nature even, envy, does not want to enjoy what I am going to do for you. That sound awful? Your own heart and system in the old nature does not want to enjoy what I will do for them. Doesn't want to do it. That's awesome. It's real. And I'd have to go a long way to really note it and see it. Because where isn't it? Wow. It's there. Now, having said that, back over to John. And 18, I jumped ahead because if I read all the other stuff, you'd be say, well, that guy wasn't too far off, you see. John, and chapter 18. And picking up, if I may, my kingdom, they would fight, but it isn't. So we did that a little bit. So you know, you aren't trying to fix things. You do your best you can to fix them. But they're going to keep going anyway. That's what everyone's going to keep going. That's what we're going to look at. I think you need to look at it. Providence. You need to see how it's going to work out. I hope we'd see it. Now, in the process, verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest, I am king. You said, I am king, and expects a yes answer. Are you a king? Yes, you are. Yes, you are. No question. You are asking, are you? And yes, you are. Verse 37. A king, that's I am king. To this end was I born, To this end was, and to, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. So God, here we are listening, looking, a God, and you're going to go and listen into your wonderful word, and your word is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So God, you're the truth. And Pilate's going to say, verse 38, Pilate said unto him, what is the truth? I'm a Roman, I'm a governor, I'm in this political system, we got all kinds of gods and everyone, and who knows, whatever God is right, and each one clings to whatever they're going to, like the driftwood in the ocean, whatever you've grabbed onto religiously, politically, you hang on to it like this in the ocean, and someone else has a different piece of driftwood over here, another piece over here, politics, religion, and we all hang on to the driftwoods out there that were out floating around, floating. And so here we are going in the process. What is truth? And I've had people say that. I've had some very intelligent people say that to me years ago. What is truth? Who knows what the truth is? How do you know what you believe is true? How do you know it's true and real? Remember what the word truth? Remember the word truth? Or, fortunately, it sits here, this wonderful piece of truth. And here's our lead pencil, remember, truth. Truth, reality. The piece of lead that's here, that's real. And if we peel it back, it's real all the way to the end. Truth, reality. It's real all the way to the end. What you see at the front, it's true all the way. Jesus said, I'm God all the way to forever. Truth. What is truth? Who knows what the truth is, really? And we all defend and fight in wars over whatever we think truth is that we're defending. Pilate said, I don't know what truth is. No one knows what truth is. Jesus said, I am the truth. Now, having said that, and the people that hear me, so having said that, do a little exercise that may help you lock onto that. What is the truth? You need to know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, exercise. Over to John and chapter 5. John and chapter 5. And going where you would certainly a way to go. Picking up John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. God said it, you read it in God's word, you believe it in God's word, and you believe that God will give you eternal life if you believe. You're not going to be judged to condemnation, and you're passed, at the moment you believe, from death unto life, a unique living, a new and living way, as we shared in Hebrews this morning. Now, so therefore, John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Picking up, please, in verse 4. Our Lord the shepherd. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. Why do they follow him? For they know his voice. They know his voice. Verse 27. I'll read verse 26. But if you believe not, because you believe not Verse 26, because you are not of my sheep. As I said, if my sheep hear my voice, what did just say to Pontius Pilate? The people that know the truth are people that hear my voice. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. That's what they do. They know my voice. You know, in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, heart, no door, no lock, no handle on the outside, I have to open the door by act of my will. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Do you hear? If anyone hears my voice, do you understand? We've got God's word. God has given us his word. All my word from Genesis to Revelation is my word to help you understand who God is and how history works and how it all goes from start to finish. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, God's wonderful, wonderful grace, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And while you're here in John, just go over to chapter 17 where you did a little bit ago and remind yourself, Pilate says, what is the truth? John 17, and in verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. To know thee, the only true God. That's right. Only true God. The Lord Jesus said, I am the truth. How about anybody else? There is nobody else. That's what's offensive. How can you be the only truth? Because I'm the only God. I have no competition. I'm the only God and the only Savior. So what is there to say? I am the truth. There is no one else. There must be something. You're talking about yourselves. You aren't talking about God. There's only one God. Now, so therefore, having said that, I am the way, the relationship to God, chapter 17, verse 3. And tie that together over to 1 John. And in 1 John, and note, please, 1 John chapter 5, and at the end, tie it together. 1 John chapter 5. And may I go directly to verse 20. As you come to the end of the gospel, first epistle of John, 1 John 5, 20. And we know that that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, real, and we are in him that is true, real, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Slide over to verse 12. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Back over to verse 20. This is the true God and eternal life. It's a relationship. It's real. Like the lead pencil. It's real. All the way to the end. What is truth? Truth. Truth. Awesome, wonderful truth. And therefore, Pilate, what are you going to do? Pilate's going to say in the process, back over to John 18. We didn't get very far, but John chapter 18. And you will please notice in the process. Verse 38, Pilate said unto him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again out to the Jews who are all sitting out there, standing out there in a great group, and said unto them, I find no fault at all. I find no fault at all. I have nothing to judge him with. Nothing. He's done nothing wrong. Differently. How are you going to judge God that he has not the right to be God and the only Savior, the only God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? How do you take that away from him? How do you take away that he is not who he is? How are you going to do it? Pilate says, I don't know how to take away from him. I have no reason to not question who he is. I don't understand who he is, but he's certainly king of the Jews. I don't know what truth is, but I know whoever he is, he is. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is, you see. Awesomely is. Now, I got to quit, but I hope you begin to see a little bit. It's a wonderful, wonderful truth to understand. And you'll appreciate, I appreciate, God saving us. God saving. I heard his voice. Do I know the truth? No one knows the truth, I'd say. As you try saying that to people, what is the truth, you see? What is the truth and the trials that we go through? And in the process of going through all those trials, to understand that God said, you're going to have to go through them the same as I did. Do you understand? Do it. Here we are. And we can talk. And now, if you're going to start talking from a God's point of view, when you received Christ as your Savior, you received God in the flesh, crucified, risen, and making it possible for him, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and to receive God as your Savior. And that God, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Did I say anything wrong? Is that all true? It is. The world doesn't believe that. And if you tell them, you know that. If you tell them you give a home to God, your heart is God's home, which is true. True. That's impossible. No, it isn't. It's for real. What's the problem? No one believes that. And no one would accept that. No one would accept that. That God Almighty is in you, is your home, is in your heart? That's impossible. And they reject it. If so, if you don't think, I can get along with religiously all these people, we can't. Because we aren't coming, we aren't connecting. But when we start understanding and enjoying inside, personally, our wonderful relationship to God, which is what we're trying to do and have, if I try to enjoy that, the world thinks you're a nut. Okay? And they hate it. They hate it. And the same crowd, religiously and politically, hate you having God, saying that you're God in the heart. The Lord Jesus, they said to Jesus, are you God? He said, yes, I am. And I say, are you saved? Yes, I am. I received God as my Savior. See, I hate you. They aren't going to like you. No, so I don't tell people that. Not even Jeanette knows. I'm not telling her. I'm not telling her. You got it? Are you getting a little bit? I'm trying to tell you the huge difference, the real difference that we have ever face, the real difference between being saved and unsaved. And the unsaved will not tolerate the saved ever. When push comes to shove. And if you don't, I know it's a hard thing. It's the way it is. And to the measure I don't want to enjoy God, I won't. I won't. And I won't enjoy being having a wonderful God and a wonderful Savior to save us, to save me, to save you, to enjoy that. And the world hates it. The world doesn't want that. No. But they can crucify us. Ah, another subject.